From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of October 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. And along the way, I'll update you on all the agricultural news, and we'll hear from brand new agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, Todd Hubbs, about the soybean market. Stay with us for this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon, the 17th day of October. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And Kurt is going to explain to us just exactly why, when we have such a large soybean crop, it manages to continue to rally up another 15 and three quarter cents today. What's up with that today?
Beans on fire, yes. Beans is a hot topic amongst commodity fund traders. They continue to like to maintain ownership of beans. But fundamentally, looking at some of the numbers, one is the world vegetable oil market. Palm oil continues to be a strong commodity worldwide. That spilled over into our bean oil market. Bean oil up over a full point. In return, kind of supported the whole soybean complex in general. The crush report showed crushed 129.4 million bushels of 129.4 million bushels of beans. The trade guess was about 127, so a fairly active crush. Then we go to the export shipments. We shipped out another good round of beans, almost 90 million bushels. For the marketing year, we're up over 34 million bushels, 14% above last year's pace. So it's just a combination of things that support the soybean complex. To maintain this up move, we need to make sure we stay above today's lows and see some additional sales here as we move through the week, Todd.
All right, so the low for the trade today at $9.61 in that November contract, up 15 and three quarters again. The last trade was 9.78 and a quarter. For those who are paying attention to the January contract, 9.68 and three quarters was the low for the day. So we need to stay above that. I take that's where you're looking as well. And we talked a little bit about palm oil. We've done that a couple of times in the past. This is where El Nino has had an impact. That was earlier in the year. There appears to be a recovery at some point coming in supplies of palm oil, especially out of Indonesia. And that's where the impact from El Nino came from. Given that, we have lots of moves here. Should farmers be taking advantage of this to sell beans that they have at the elevator today?
Well, we feel so. We feel the demand's up front here. There wasn't beans between now and year end. They need to get those beans where they need to get them shipped so they could shift the logistics of transportation to the southern hemisphere as we go into 2017. So we're in favor of moving the beans, replace them, particularly commercial storage, and replace them with a 20-25 cent strategy, risk strategy to maintain ownership. That way if the market continues to have move higher, you can capture some additional pennies to the upside. But if the market would happen to crack 20 cents, 30 cents to the downside, hate giving up that 20, 30 cents plus 20 cents storage, which adds up to 40, 50 cents in a heartbeat. So it depends on your comfort zone. There's no hurry. Just clean out the bin right now if you put some in there. But we like rewarding the market to the upside because this winter the focus is going to be on the southern hemisphere. And that's been giving the market a little support and breaks on the idea that Argentina could actually see a decrease in bean plantings by, 2, 3% as the emphasis mainly shifts a little heavier corn and no real big expansion expected in Brazil there, but it's still early. They're putting the crop in the ground. Ideas are that Brazil as a whole is about 18% complete planted versus 10% average. There's some areas, 30, 35% complete. Weather's starting to cooperate for the most part, but that'll be more of a market issue here as we move on into December and January.
Last week, corn rallied between 14 and 15 cents on the weekly trade. Did that surprise you? And what do farmers do now?
Yeah, it did. It was a surprise of that magnitude of a run. We've seen basis levels sort of hang in through there on the cash side, sort of keep away on the commercial side. Seems like they're lacking to buy cash corn, you know, 310, 320, and keep it for themselves and hedge it and capture the carry. The big thing, though, was the technical formation that we've talked about for like 2 months here for the head and shoulders bottom. We broke out to the upside. It projects 370, 375 up front here. And we've been talking about 370 for quite some time. And, you know, the market's in a position, hopefully, to challenge that area here as we move down the road. That seems kind of the magic number that, you know, producers would like to receive here to sort of get them back to square one, get them from point A to point B. The thing is, right now, it's kind of tough to make a decision on what to do on harvested grain. Once again, you know, if you use 20 cent cost to store till year end, and we only go up 20 cents, it's kind of a break even proposition. You know, and hate paying 20 cents to see it go down 20, and all of a sudden you got a 40 cent problem. So there's some different strategies you can do to keep your grain marketing flexible and take advantage of the ups and downs in 3 year time.
What kinds of things are we talking in the market, in your side of the market? Or are we looking at delayed pricing and basis contracts? What sorts of things would you
discuss?
Oh,
we're talking my side, futures and options. That basis, that DP, that is no good. That is a trick to get producers to feel like they're doing some. I would not consider that at all. But there's some give and take, and I think you got to do a combination of things. And I think things go hand in hand. You know, a perfect example here, a guy sold some cash beans. He re-owned it at the elevator. He's got 30 cents profit in it. He can come in and buy a put to help protect that profit or take that profit and turn around, transfer that risk to a call. There's a whole bunch of combinations you can do. And my favorite grain guy, that guys at the Andersons there, Greg Johnson, particularly Brian, they could, you know, help work on a combination of the two there, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you, and we'll talk with you 1 week from today.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Monday afternoon. In today's agricultural news, new farm bill talks could start in earnest next year as U.S. agriculture seeks ways to deal with chronically low commodity prices. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall says the 2014 bill's not perfect, adding no farm bill is, but Duvall says the 2014 bill's dairy and cotton programs are not working and need some fixes, as does the bill's revenue coverage program, ARC.
We have some discrepancies between county averages in the other programs around row crop that we're going to be looking at and trying to make sure that we find some way to tweak that and bring some justice from, you know, a county line shouldn't make that big of a difference of how the programs in the farm bill help our farmers stay on the farm.
Duvall urges a cautious approach to structuring the next farm bill after political sensitivities forced a movement away from commodity programs and toward revenue coverage in the last one. He says Farm Bureau is already discussing the next farm bill with an eye toward working out conflicts, regional and otherwise, before they occur. A Farm Bureau working group with a staff from all the state farm bureaus has assembled more than 50 white pages generating farm bill discussions. Duvall says those discussions will help AFBF develop singular policies for the next farm bill versus many different points of view that only seem to confuse lawmakers. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., but we'll move to the Department of Justice. Deere & Company says the DOJ is unfairly accusing the company of trying to monopolize a market that does not exist. Deere responded last week to a DOJ challenge to the company's planned purchase of Monsanto seed planting equipment, Line Precision Planting. The Wall Street Journal reports the government aims to block Deere from buying Precision Planting on grounds the deal would suppress competition for technology that allows farmers to plant crops at accelerated rates. Deere already offers high-speed components for its own planters. Deere denied that the purchase would give the company 86% of all Precision Planting system sales in the United States. The DOJ filed a lawsuit against the deal at the end of August. Deere responded last week and repeatedly challenged the government's attempts to distinguish high-speed planting systems from slower conventional planting equipment. Deere also says products from Precision Planting would be widely available for non-Deere equipment after the deal is finalized. Precision Planting's U.S. sales were about $100 million in 2015, while Deere's U.S. sales of planter-related equipment last year was near $900 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Glisson. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus that takes a look at the futures and trade across the planet as it relates to commodities. He and Daryl Good have been working together. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today, Todd.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You've written an article that's been posted to the FarmDoc Daily website this week about soybeans in particular. Let's start kind of with your bottom line. Producers are wondering a lot about soybeans. It's an awfully good harvest. Will they have opportunities to market this crop at better prices?
I believe there will be opportunities that emerge as we move through the marketing year. The predominance of South American production for the soybean crop on the world stage and China's dominant position as an importer in soybeans will lead us as we move through this marketing year. If South American weather events or Chinese domestic economic indicators deteriorate, I think there'll be opportunities for people to price soybeans.
Yeah, so when we look at the world stage USDA, and I'll use million bushels, increase the size of the crop by 191 million bushels across the board. This is a place where U.S. farmers will have to compete in the next 6 months, not currently because there weren't as many soybeans coming out of South America last spring as most had thought, but eventually this will come on to the marketplace. So really, you're talking about a shorter-term window, I assume, for soybeans and marketing those.
If there are these events in South American weather or in the export markets, the supply and demand drivers for exporting soybeans, I think there'll be opportunities possibly for marketing soybeans in windows. Not maybe long-run run-ups, but momentary marketing positions that are available.
So when you think about that, given current price, do you suppose a couple of things? First, and let's just be blunt with this one, do you suppose that soybeans have made a harvest low yet?
I do not think so. I believe there's a decent chance that the November WASDE report will bump yields in soybeans again. I don't know if we'll hit 400 million bushels, but it's a possibility. It really is dependent on how much soybeans we can ship, particularly early in this marketing year, and what kind of soybean crop comes out of South America. What I was writing about is monitoring these supply and demand fundamental indicators related to weather in South America and export market dynamics, especially around China. I think if you pay attention, monitor them, and when you see soybean prices maybe run up on some news like weather events in South America, it might be a good time to market some.
So there will be opportunities then, you think, but they will be event-driven mostly out of weather factors from South America, potentially, I suppose, if China comes in and continues to buy an inordinate number of soybeans on the export markets. What about for corn?
Once again, export markets are going to be key for corn in this marketing year. We've seen, and Daryl Good discussed last week, the strong demand in the ethanol markets for corn. He was saying upwards of 70 million more bushels could be crushed this year, which is a good number for us in the corn markets. Having said that, despite the reduction in corn yield by a bushel, we're still looking at a very large corn crop. And they upped corn exports by 50 million bushels. You know, as of October 6th with the weekly export sales, I mean, that pushes us to exporting 29.26 million bushels a week in corn to hit the WASDE projection of 2.225 billion bushels. We need those export markets to show up to maintain strength in the corn price. Having said that, there is really strong domestic demand in the corn market. And after this WASDE report and the lowering of yields, you know, it gave us a little bump there. Highest corn price close on Friday we've seen in 3 months. I think there's some space there for corn, but the foreign markets are going to be key.
Hey, thank you so much for coming down.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, clinical associate professor here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the FarmDoc Daily website, a brand new article posted there today. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is with us. She's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Busy there?
Yes, we have been. we certainly have been. We had a good day in the market today and have had a nice little run here recently. And sun's shining today with a nice wind blowing in this area. So that's good for getting beans dried out here, which is really what we're seeing a lot of at this point. And in our immediate area, corn progress is very far along, so we're seeing the tail end of corn harvest, which is reflected in corn basis improvement as well. So
it's a good day to buy beans and to sell beans if you're harvesting, I suppose, in the futures market. Are you buying many new crop beans across the scale?
Actually, yeah, we are having some people get some sold here, rewarding this rally, especially those who haven't sold much ahead. This is providing a nice opportunity to avoid paying charges or things of that nature. So have seen a little bit of people selling on this bounce here in beans.
Right thing to do, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think on a percentage of the crop, for sure. You know, we've had a nice run. Its yields have been pretty good in a lot of areas so far. So, you know, we're not hearing a ton that are beating last year by any stretch of the imagination, but still good soybean yields out there. So as an alternative to paying DP charges and not knowing when and if a bounce is going to come later in the year, depending on cash flow needs and that type of thing, I think rewarding this rally is going to pay out in a lot of respects.
What's your basis like for the day?
Yep, so corn, we are 15 under the December, and soybeans, we are 20 under the November.
And has that widened or narrowed in the last week?
Narrowed up pretty significantly.
And why is that the case, do you think?
You know, we see this happen at the tail end of harvest, where once the crop is out of the ground, you know that it's not going to probably hit the market then until the winter time. So rail values start to reflect that, the processor starts to reflect that, and in turn, then we can improve our values here as well. So it provides a nice little opportunity for people that have something left to get on the books.
Amy, thanks so much, and give me your bids for the day.
You bet. Cash corn's going to be $3.39, and cash soybeans are going to be $9.58.
All right. You have a good week.
Thanks, you too.
Amy Sage is from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Boy, it's been windy out, Mark. It looks like we might have a little rain on Wednesday, maybe something happening on the weekend as well. Is it the beginning of something bigger, or
the main delivery of higher moisture content that's going to be actually and has been directed to the West Coast, especially the Pacific Northwest and also Western Canada? So here in the middle of the country, again, some passing frontal system rains, but we're just not getting in any of these, you know, tropical feeds or these atmospheric rivers, if one of the terms here that's caused some of exceptionally wet conditions at times in recent months, but really has kind of taken a step back out of the Midwest over the past several weeks, and looks like through the end of the month is going to remain away from the Midwest.
So we are warmer than normal. We have rainfall coming. It's Wednesday. It's windy out. It doesn't feel like fall. Is there a change at any point? And I know it will come, but will it be abrupt?
As of right now, no. We do not see any triggers in the pattern, if you would, to start forcing some more consistently cold weather. Some more typical autumn weather here coming up. So through the end of the month, even in early November, kind of more of the same. We're not seeing any turn to a colder than normal pattern here in the Midwest.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with RisPulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this October 17th, Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.